How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of someone trying to steal your crypto. Every day, thousands of hackers online are doing the same. That's why Arculus uses air-gapped cold storage technology to protect your assets. Using our keycard and wallet app to form a protective barrier, Arculus insulates you from hackers and puts control of your digital assets back in your hands. Order the first truly air-gapped crypto wallet at getarculus.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 395. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and unfortunately my co-host John Carcutt can't make it today. He's having a little problem with his computer, but we are lucky enough to be interviewing Roger Monty, a website publisher, owner of SEO consultancy, martinibuster.com, and a staff writer at Search Engine Journal. Welcome, Roger.
Hi.
Glad you could come.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, well, you know, John and I often discuss the articles you write on Search Engine Journal. I really, every time I see your name, I know it's going to be a great article. So thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I try to put a little extra in there. It's something, you know, to make it worth people's whiles to read it.
Thank you. I used to do my own writing. I haven't done a lot for a while, but when I used to do it, I was a bit obsessive myself. I like to over deliver every time I did it, but it's a lot of work.
For me. Well, some of these topics, it has like, there's a lot of background information that sometimes we can assume people know. Hmm. And even though I try to like fill in all the background information, so even if you're new to a topic that I might be writing about, you can still follow along and learn it as you go through the article. And even then, sometimes I'll get an email saying, what do you mean by this? You know, and then I realize, oh, geez, I did overlook a little detail. And you know, so you can't really assume that, you know, everything you say, people are going to understand what you're talking about. That's, you know, true. Even if you say the word SERP, you can't, you know, assume that people know what a SERP is, which is, you know, search engine result page.
Yeah, I find myself doing that too, especially when I'm communicating with clients. You just want to rush through and get them an answer, but you're like, there's no way I'm going to use that term. What the hell? They're not going to understand the thing I'm saying.
Yeah.
But search engine result pages is a little lengthy, so there's a good reason we use them.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how and when you started SEO.
Well, back in the 90s, I mean, I was in San Francisco, and there are lots of people I knew that were working on the internet, and I was just like, wow, this is really cool. And people showing me like, yeah, you can, you know, do all this and find all that. And I was like, wow. And so my wife encouraged me to go back to school and learn how to code. And so I went to this nonprofit accredited school that was founded by some engineer from Apple in San Francisco. And I learned HTML and PHP and Photoshop and, you know, all kinds of things. And the teachers were people who wrote for O'Reilly, you know, all the missing manual and all those books. So the teachers were really high quality people who literally wrote the book on HTML and Dreamweaver, whatever, you know, we were studying back then, Photoshop. And yeah, so after that, I started building sites and monetizing, and just been working from home pretty much since about, I think, 2001.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
So you would have started in what, when would your official start date be in the SEO industry?
Oh, I don't know, 1999, 2000, something like that.
Yeah, very cool.
Depends,
yeah,
you know. I mean, it takes a while. It you know, that's what I tell people who are just getting into SEO, that it takes a while sometimes to just get enough air under your wings to just get off and take flight and be able to work from home and have it be a viable business. Because I went, you know, for a couple of years working a job, and mm-hmm. then coming home and working on my projects to and once it was making enough money, I could just, you know, stop working and just work on my own projects.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I did the same thing for the longest. Probably the first 4 years, I think, 3 or 4 years, I had another job at all times. And just, you know, it's good, pays to be cautious.
Sure.
And you get a bit of that, you know, can I do this? Can I really make this happen? And then when it does start happening, it's kind of amazing. And my first employee was Jim Hedger. And back in 2001, I guess. Can't remember now, but it was pretty cool to get my first one. It was quite a change. I had no idea how to deal with an employee. it is a lot nicer to have a little assistance. And then when you get to a point where you've got everything down pat, I can see how you can go backwards and decide that, you know what, it's good just to work for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, from the beginning, the first clients I got were all like B2B software related. I guess because I was in San Francisco, there was a lot of software companies and some big names too that I consulted for. And the funny thing about that is that because it's a name brand and it's B2B. There are certain things you couldn't do with them in order to promote them. So it's almost like doing SEO with your hand tied behind your back. Because back then, that was during the heyday of, you know, directory listings and reciprocal links. And you can't do that with you know, a B2B legit type of site. So it really forces you to be creative and come up with strategies that other people aren't doing, and it was really fun, you know, doing coming up with ideas and learning. And this is when AdWords didn't exist, mm-hmm. and I guess it's called Google Ads now, and it was like Overture, and then Google came out with their advertising product. And so getting on that and finding opportunities and that was a lot of fun, and just keeping tabs on, you know, it's on a lot of times opportunities aren't going to come to you, but you got to like really be online and seek them out and mm-hmm. find out where are all the customers at, where are they hanging out, and who are the customers, what are they, IT people, are they managers, and where do I find them? How do I reach them? Who's making the decisions? And then that's how I did the marketing for some of these really hard to SEO type businesses. And it worked really well.
That's great. Yeah. And also learning, like being in the right places, where you're not the smartest person in the room, not even by far. And just learning, just soaking it in. I love that. Like they say, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
true. Yeah.
I found that humbling, but always amazing. So you got to be a bit addicted to learning, especially in this industry. Back then we thought things were moving fast.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seemed like every other week that somebody was getting purchased by somebody else, usually Yahoo was buying somebody or Google was buying somebody.
But you think about the SEO realm, though. I mean, updates and stuff were a joke back then compared to now. Now it's, you know, white papers and patents are everything.
yes, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of bad information on SEO information, and I don't know, our industry has a history of doing these correlation studies and nonsense word type studies, and and they result in information that isn't necessarily correct, and if you cross-reference it with patents and white and research papers that have been done, you can tell that hasn't been researched. There's no patents about it, so highly unlikely that, you know, the results of this search results correlation study is correct, you know, that kind of thing. And there's a long history of that in our industry, and I think we as an industry need to really go back to understanding what's an authoritative source, you know. And one of the things, you know, I love about Bill Slosky is he looks at the patents and there's no guarantee that's Google using it, but understanding what has been studied, what has been researched or patented, gives you an idea of what is possible. And it's not gonna, you know, tell you how Google's algorithm actually works, but it gives you an idea of what kind of direction you should be going in, or in what directions you should not be going in.
Yeah, you get a peek into their mind, even if it isn't something they ended up implementing. You see direction.
Of course, yeah, absolutely, and not just Google's patents, but Microsoft, Bing, they're doing some amazing things, and you know, everything kind of runs in parallel, and because Microsoft's been doing BERT for a while, you know, so a lot of these things there can be some overlap, especially in the machine learning and AI.
How would you describe BERT to our sort of newer listeners? Let's say
BERT is just a machine. It's just a way of understanding search queries and documents, and then using that. It goes beyond simple text matching. You know, it's all about just really understanding what the concepts and topics are, and being better able to match a search query to a document. And it's some pretty interesting stuff, you know, because it results in the search results are less and less becoming about the keywords that you use. I mean, it's important to use keywords and be precise, of course, and it always will be, but because of all the different AI and machine learning and neural matching that they're using, you don't have to use they're able to pull up documents that don't necessarily use the keywords. They might use different words, and it can make ranking a little difficult, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe, you know, because like how and what's interesting is that the impact that these algorithms have, like in a not too distant past, I want to say like 6-7 years ago, the search results pages called SERPs, let's call them SERPs, the SERPs had a lot of like top five type answers. Do you remember that happening? Like you would search for something. It's like, oh, top five ways to accomplish this or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was like an artifact of the algorithms that Google was using, that it was understanding kind of, those were easier to understand as a concept. And but they've improved, and you're seeing less and less of that kind of content being ranked. And now with those passages thing that Google's introducing, it gives long form content a chance.
Yes.
One thing, you know, clients that come to me with ranking problems, one of the problems they had was they were overwriting their content. So they would have this desire to write an authoritative, comprehensive web page.
You should be saving for the future, but savings accounts suck, and investing can be scary. We combine the ease of savings with the real returns of investing. We call it Savevesting, and it's only available in our new app, Stairs. Stairs offers 4% to 6% returns, no fees, and you can withdraw anytime. Do your future a favor. Visit StairsApp.com today.
Page about a certain topic. And, you know, they'd end up with a 5,000, 7,000 word document that's all over the place. And when you look at what Google's ranking, they're ranking like 800 word, 1,700 word pages. Why is that? Is it because the algo has trouble understanding content that's longer than 1,700 words? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's easier to understand, or maybe it's better for users. Users prefer that.
But then maybe they now share them more because they're easier to digest, right?
It makes more sense. And how are people digesting them on their cell phones?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even I love reading, you know, the New Yorker and the Atlantic, but wow, those articles are long. And if I'm on my cell phone, it better be well written because I'm not sticking with it.
No. And it's funny you mentioned about the keywords and optimizing and stuff. And I still get, well, we all do get the question about how do I optimize a page? And you know, it's so hard. And what keywords do I use? And I always tell them just, you know, be the expert you are in your market. Write the article as you want it to be read. Don't worry about keywords. You know, Google's getting so good at understanding it that we don't have to worry about throwing this word in here and this word in here. At the end of it, if we go through it as an SEO, we see the odd opportunity to throw in a keyword that might be of use, we'll do it, but don't worry about it. And it's so much better. The quality of content that comes out is so much better as well.
Yeah. And I think this passages thing might give the longer form content a better chance. You know, there's this, I was talking to you earlier, there's this research paper from Google on a kind of like a different flavor of BERT called Smith.
Yeah, this name is hilarious. Siamese multi-depth transformer-based hierarchical encoder for long-form document matching.
yeah, and oh, I think that dates from April of 2020. And but it's kind of cool, you know, because it says, you know, when you're looking at research papers, Google rarely, if ever, points to a research paper and says, yeah, we did that, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it seems like they change the names of what's in the research paper and what's in, you know, with the exception of like BERT. but with this Smith thing, it's pretty interesting because it's all about being able to understand long form content. Mm-hmm. And it even talks about passages but the thing about research papers is, what I look for is, what are the results? And it usually comes at the end of the research paper, and they say, you know, these are promising results and we need to do more study. Then that means maybe it's not in use. It's, you know, you have to look for the what they did afterwards. But sometimes they say that this research paper, our research shows that doing it this way blows away all reference, you know, reference current processes, and this is significantly better. Then that's kind of like, maybe that's something to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And this one says that our proposed Smith model outperforms the previous state-of-the-art models and increases the maximum input text length from 512 to 2048 when comparing with BERT-based baselines.
Pretty compelling.
Pretty compelling, yeah. And, you know, what it does is it says it's looking at longer passages and sentences and paragraphs, and it's able to like go through and just understand long documents. It says long documents contain internal structure like sections, passages, and sentences, and it's looking at that. Kind of cool.
It's amazing.
Is this what Google's using? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this a little further in a second here, but first we're going to take a quick break.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY Podcast System within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. We're joined by Roger Monti, a website publisher, owner of SEO consultancy martinibuster.com, and a staff writer at Search Engine Journal. We've just been discussing the passages. We've talked about this actually in the last couple episodes as well, because it's just so fascinating about Google's indication that they're going to be using passages in 2021 to... they're going to be showing passages from content within search results. And Roger brought up a very interesting patent application. I think it was a patent application, wasn't it?
Or
was
it research? It's a research paper.
Research paper, okay.
It's a Google research paper.
Okay, that gives some strong indication that this could be what's behind passages. Again, it's a certain amount of speculation here. We don't know. But from what we just talked about, it's pretty big deal, and looks fairly compelling. So, how do you think this is going to affect the SEO industry? Now, I realize we're speculating at this point, so everyone know that. We've been doing this a while though, so I'm kind of intrigued to see what you think.
I think that it just puts more, it just tightens the screws on publishers to be more accurate in how they approach topics. And in a way, it kind of seems unfair because some people write a certain way, you know, and they might, in an article about something related to business, they might invoke a movie from the 1980s and make metaphors and whatnot, and which is like totally off topic and might throw off algorithms. Certainly when I work with clients who did that kind of thing, they experience better results with some good editing and sharpening their focus on the content. And it's almost like the early days of SEO when you needed to put the keyword in the heading, title, you know, have an H1 and all this other stuff, because if you didn't, you would never rank. Mm-hmm. And now it's more about being very organized in your writing, to plan out what you want to communicate, what you want to solve, what problem you want to solve, and the steps to solving it, and having pictures and images that illustrate that, or even like a animated GIF, you know, that shows the steps. And having a little animation there is really cool, because in one picture, somebody could just stop there and just see, you know, the transition of like how something is done, you know, rather than have burden them with having to scroll through like four or five images to see how something is done. And but anyway, the point being, how do you communicate? And it just seems like you just have to be a little more organized. John Mueller said that it gives that the whole purpose of BERT is that they can understand your content better, and that you don't, it gives sloppy writers, well, I don't know, he didn't say that exactly, but he did say that it gives more pages a chance to rank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in a way, they seem to be pushing, again, just sort of riffing off what you just said, almost like a more journalistic planning process to content, which is good for everyone in many ways. I mean, I realize it doesn't work for everyone, but planning is a good thing. I know I've in the past just started writing, but I've always ended up going back and going, you know, I needed to move this here, move that there. Cause you know, when you read it again, you're like, that's kind of a mess of spaghetti. This thing's gotta be.
Yeah. Yeah.
More structure. That's something we've agreed on. Barry was on the other last episode as well. And Barry agreed, you know, more structure in content is probably going to be important. It's fun doing some conjecture with this stuff. I mean, it's always interesting. And I know it's probably not as SEO 101 as a lot of people are here to listen for, but it is a peek at what's coming.
I like to think of it in terms of like, you know, when people search for this, I call it the latent question. And latent means something that's like hidden underneath. Like, what are they really trying to say? Like in New England, people speak this way, and yet you need like a New England English to English translator to understand sometimes what people are telling you, because there's a lot they say that's in between the lines. So, you know, they might say, yeah, did you see Bob? He came, walked through the doors, both arms swinging. And what they're really trying to say is that that he let his wife carry all the luggage into the hotel. you know. So instead of saying what a lazy person, they'll say, yeah, he came into the door, both arms swinging.
Oh, and, my God. That's awesome.
So you know, same thing. Oh God, what was I heading towards?
Well, reading between the lines, really.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that? There was some a point.
Well, you're talking about latent question.
Oh, right. The latent question. Right. So the thing about the latent question is when somebody types Jaguar, the latent question is, where can I buy a Jaguar? Or where can I look at pictures of a Jaguar? in every keyword phrase, it should be looked at to understand what's the latent question. What are people really asking when they type in, you know, blah blah blah. And so sometimes a keyword has multiple latent questions, so you have to choose. Well, which question am I answering? Am I answering this one question? Is that relevant for my product or whatever it is you're trying to accomplish? And then, you know, make your choice. Or you can be comprehensive if that's, you know, good for you with whatever goals you have, whether it's get clicks on an ad or get clicks on an affiliate link or just sell a product, you know, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. So I like to think in terms of what is the latent question that's hidden in the search query. And then you write down those insights and then you write the article. So, you know, when somebody...
You should be saving for the future, but savings accounts suck and investing can be scary. We combine the ease of savings with the real returns of investing. We call it Savevesting, and it's only available in our new app, Stairs. Stairs offers 4-6% returns, no fees, and you can withdraw anytime. Do your future a favor. Visit StairsApp.com today.
You said Art writes queries like, say, you know, what is structured data? And well, your article can be, this is what structured data is. And this is what structured data does. And this is what structured data benefits you. And that is, I try to always, no matter what I'm writing, whether it's like for an affiliate site or whatever, the benefit part, I think, is in a lot of scenarios in terms of content, is what's so important. Like, you know, what's in it for me?
And yeah, actually, had a really interesting talk with a client today. It was fascinating. I love having talks like this. And he told me, you know, he gave me some great feedback, and he said that, you know, you guys send me great information, but I don't really have time to read it. But when you guys send me information, like, I need X amount of hours to get this done for you. And the reason why is if you don't do this, this is what'll happen. He immediately approves it. If we try to describe it, explain it, he's like, I don't care. Just it's about getting that answer about what it could do. What are the benefits? What are the negatives?
Right. Yeah. And
that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an angler, and I remember years ago there was a fishing lure company based out of Colorado, and I can't remember their name right now. But what was cool was, like, you know, like a lot of fishing lure companies, they go to their webpage, and it's like, oh, it's got these ribs on the side that creates vibrations, and it's like these colors are just right, and they go on and on about all the features, all the stuff. But at this trout lure manufacturer, they just had a video of this guy who's like hiding behind bushes at a river. And then he like flicks a lure out, gives it a couple cranks, boom, fish on. He holds up the trout, you know, to the camera, throws it in the bag, flicks out the lure, gives another crank, another fish. And he like does this over and over. And I'm like, bye.
Yeah.
Bye. Every color. You know, it's like, this is what's in it for me. Trout. Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
And it's as simple as that, you know, content, wow. You know, this is just a video, and video is content, but, you know, content sometimes just boils down to telling people you can catch a lot of fish with this, you know,
very simple. Simple, yeah. Works.
Yeah.
Get to the heart of the issue.
You know, those trout lures work too. I caught a lot of trout with them.
So how soon did you buy stock? No.
Jeez. Yeah, I even have some colors that they don't make anymore.
Nice. Well, I've got a couple more questions for you for the show, but let's take another quick break. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about common issues you encounter with SEO.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.FM and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.FM.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. That's me. We're joined by Roger Monti, a website publisher, owner of SEO consultancy, MartiniBuster.com, and a staff writer at Search Engine Journal. So I sort of have a question. We're going to get to something you mentioned earlier about website WordPress development. But for now, I'm curious for listeners here and a lot of people who are always looking for gems, what are the most common issues you're encountering with SEO? I know you do a lot of your own stuff, but like you said earlier, a lot of people still reach out to you for help. What do you see the most of?
I think that I think the most common thing is content.
But they don't have it, or they haven't done it right.
Certainly, links can in competitive areas. Links can play a role, and the more competitive it is, the more important having the right links becomes. And there are a lot of, particularly, I won't mention any niches, but there's some niches where everybody is doing the same thing, and everybody's following the perceived leader. And that's not necessarily, in terms of links, always the best way, because sometimes these links are just ignored, and you can jump ahead by doing something different and better, and paying attention to a lot of these link type tools will tell you what topic the website or the web page that a link is in. And sometimes this can be off topic, and sometimes some of these pages where you're getting links are on topic, and that's kind of what you want to stick with. But it seems like the most common thing is just is content, and having content that is just direct and easy to read for not just for people, but for bots. And sometimes you can put content in like an app like Hemingway, the Hemingway app, and it'll like show that it's like at a 14th grade reading level or something, and it'll tell you how difficult some of the passages are. Not for my stuff on Search Engine Journal, but for my own stuff, I do. I kind of can do it without putting it in the app. You know, the app is in my head, and I can just kind of like see that something is too long. And particularly, you know, you look at articles in your cell phone, and it's it can be startling. Like, oh my gosh, this article is so long, you know, and it's just one paragraph, you know, it's just like on and on. And really paragraphs should be in small chunks. Like, I think 2 sentences, 3 sentences max. And sometimes some paragraphs are better, are more useful in one sentence chunks.
Yeah.
And then sometimes just got to think in terms of like a narrative that kind of builds and towards a solution, or maybe just throw the solution out there right in front and then explain why the solution works. You know, there's different ways to approach it.
Yeah, kind of like the too long didn't read. Just give them that at the beginning and then say, if you wanted more here, this is the reason why.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then that way you can satisfy the people who just want the direct answer and satisfy the people who want a more in-depth. And
just pray that Google doesn't put it into search results.
Yeah.
Snippet or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? If anybody's going to be in a snippet, might as well be you.
Yeah, true. This is true. It could be the worst. Yeah. There's worse things that could happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, and links is one of those areas that is so difficult to tell or even explain to a client how to build. And so what I usually do, one of my tips is that I typically tell a client, you know, just, you know, especially if they're local, get the links from your local businesses or business organizations.
Yeah.
You know, at least get your Chamber of Commerce. You know, not only is it good for a link, but it's also supporting a great thing. If you want to go to the Better Business Bureau route, I know that's somewhat controversial, but it is a good link. Any local buy, sell initiatives where they want you to buy local, join that. All those things add up. They really do. And they're great signals.
Yeah. And people publish lists of local resources, and sometimes universities publish lists of local resources, and local is has a lot of opportunities for being creative. I mean, pre-pandemic you could even like start hosting meetups. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even speaking at meetups, and then you meet people and sometimes you meet other business people, particularly if the meetup is like a business related thing. And the whole thing about links is it's always had a relationship quality to it, a relationship aspect to it. And when you go to conferences, when you go to meetups, when you start a meetup and you speak at these things, you are building relationships. And sometimes these relationships can pay off with links, and you do something for somebody and you become known. And even when I was doing I had a client that was a multinational B2B software company, and then they got purchased. And then they started purchasing other companies, and they just started getting huger and huger. but anyway, even for them, you know, what I would do was I would set them up with opportunities to have them publish in newsletters and things like that. And not just for the links, but just for the building the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And they would reach out and ask some industry experts to, like, you know, contribute an opinion or something for something they were publishing on their blog.
Right.
And what I was doing for them was building relationships within the community of people who were likely to use their product. Mm-hmm. And they just kept getting popular and popular, and bloggers would link to them, and other sites would link to them, but the most important metric was quarter after quarter, year over year, sales just kept getting just increasing, increasing, increasing. And that's really you know, more important than rankings, in my opinion, is like, is what you're doing increasing sales? And the link thing, you can, I think people focus too much on these shaky metrics that have, don't necessarily have any connection to rankings. And instead, they're just like focused on acquiring links, but not really building any relationships with the community that your product serves, you know, services, and not building popularity either. And Google is all about ranking sites that people want to see. Mm-hmm. And if people know about you, people are going to start asking for you by name, and they start expecting to see your site ranked there. But, you know, building relationships increases sales. And it's been that way for a long, long time.
Yeah, we often get lost in the woods, focused on something that's just too simplified. But almost too complex, but in this case, simplified, because you're just looking at one thing, but really you should be considering it in all angles, like building links. Yeah, it is a relationship build. Mm-hmm. And that's especially true in local. I do feel a little sorry for international brands. It's a little trickier sometimes, depending on what kind of thing they do, but it is, they also tend to, well, necessarily have larger budgets so they can do other things as well. Making anything go viral these days isn't as easy anymore either way. So
I mean, if you have a chance to expose your brand to 10,000 potential customers or people who could spread it by word of mouth, but not get a link out of it, why would you pass that by? Mm-hmm. You know, unless you're a link builder who's required to get a link and you pass this opportunity by, which, you know, it boggles the mind, you know, that, you know, somebody would be paid to build a link and then they walk past this opportunity to expose the brand to 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 potential clients, you know, just because they don't get a link.
Absolutely. So one of the things I know you wanted to, you'd mentioned anyway in our discussion before the show was about WordPress development. Sounds like there's some, I think you used the word twitchiness going on.
A few weeks back, the update, I think it was 5.3 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it just went sideways where it was supposed to be like a security update. There's like some kind of, I think it was this cross-site scripting thing they were patching. And some other improvements. It was like just like a small little update, but it went sideways and things started going wrong. But they didn't have a manual on how you stop an update, so they kind of just, you know, pulled the plug on it, and then unintended consequences happened. And what happened was they then started rolling out a beta. A beta version of WordPress, and so when they look back on it, they realize, well, they didn't have proper documentation on how to put the brakes on an update that isn't going well for whatever reason. And recently, there's like the Gutenberg project. They had to pull the plug on or delay part of it. I think it was the navigation part. Navigation or the widgets blocks? I don't know.
We're a Divi user, but.
And it was because it just wasn't ready. And it just seemed, you know, just getting the perception that. That they're having kind of like a manpower problem, and they need they might need a little more help there. I was just looking at the 5.6 release, and they've got like over 6,000 you know, bugs and stuff that need addressing. And wow. This 5.6, which is rolling out, I think, in December, is also the one where they're going to make it compatible with PHP 8, which is rolling out really soon. It's a major upgrade. And mm-hmm. They say, you know, there's some backwards incompatibility things and whatever. So with PHP 8. So we'll see when that rolls around if there's something that might happen there where some sites that are relying on code that is meant for like PHP 5 that don't have the backward compatibility anymore for that. If that starts, you know, becoming an issue, I don't know. We'll see. But it's some interesting things coming up in the WordPress world in December.
Well, yeah, and it comes back to something we're always trying to inform our clients of is WordPress is a phenomenal platform. It's the reason we use it for many of our clients.
But yeah.
There is no question whatsoever. You can't let it sit. You've got to be on it. And we do that for them if they're interested. But I mean, many cases, they just need to ensure that they understand that a website is no longer a static thing. Obviously, you're creating content for it, hopefully, but also the systems have to be upgraded and kept up to date. And it's to your advantage that it is.
Yes, so important. So important because it seems like, there's just security issues that you have to be on top of. And it's not like that it's poorly coded or anything. It's just, there's just anytime there's any app that where somebody can enter something information, that's always like a vector. Well, it poses a potential vector for like some kind of cross-site scripting type thing, you know, and I'm not an expert, but I've been covering this. You know, I'm not a security expert, but I've been covering this and I see certain things repeating. And one of the things is that some for whatever reasons, plugins and themes sometimes have these vulnerabilities. And so, really important to be proactive on that. And not only, you know, I really recommend people use a product like WordFence and Securi. I don't know how to pronounce that. I don't know what the proper pronunciation, but WordFence is just a phenomenal proactive type plugin where you can see in real time all the hacker bots that are slamming your site until you use this. Or unless you look at your log files. I mean, a person can look at their log files, but you know, a regular publisher might not know how to do that. But if you install WordFence, you can see, and like some of my sites were getting hit like 2,000 times in an evening from just one hacker bot coming from one server, and that's just one. And then there's like, you know, other hacker bots probing, looking for specific vulnerabilities. I have a forum community and I updated it to the latest version. And I think it was like without a proper challenge, login challenge for like about a half an hour. And in that time, I got spammed. It's like all these spammers logged in, registered. You know, they were able to register and log in. And it's like I had like hundreds of posts like really fast. I mean, it's just an enormous amount. And some of these are criminals. You know, it's a criminal activity. And these are criminals, mobs, mobsters. You know, it's like... It's like in Al Capone days, but it's for like hacking into sites. And there are thousands of these bots out there. And, you know, something like WordFence can really help. I mean, there are lots of solutions out there. You know, Cloudflare.
It's a particularly good one.
Cloudflare.
Yeah. Well, What I was about to say, Cloudflare, I got my report today. An interesting angle. They're showing, I'm not sure if it's a new report, but they're just sending it to me now. And it shows the frequency of traffic, but then they break down how much of it's automated. A number of our client sites was close to 50% of the traffic.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I
mean, that does include
I'm
Google.
I'm not surprised.
But the rest of it was.
Yeah, and these bots are using up the resources. If they're not properly blocked, they use up the resources and they can cause Google to have a hard time crawling your site. So that's why a lot of people can look in their Google Search Console and they might see 500 errors in their Google Search Console. This is one of the things that can cause that, because the servers running out of steam because it's getting hit by so many of these bots that it starts throwing 500 errors.
Yeah, so people, we're not off topic here. This is SEO.
it is. I mean, you're not going to rank if your site is like hacked or uncrawlable. It's absolutely SEO. Yeah. So whenever I do an audit, I also look at the security things, like including security headers and stuff, you know, because, because if you don't, if your site's offline, you can't rank, and that's SEO.
the most basic aspect of it. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, Roger, I know you're mostly working on your own sites, but is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
Especially now during the pandemic, whatever, it's like I'm seeing like a lot of people feel might not have the bandwidth for or need for like an audit type thing. So something that I do, a lot of people get value out of, is like I'll do a phone consultation. So so people can contact me on my website and, you know, just want to like run things by me and get my opinion on what they're going through and where, what they think they need to do, and just talk for like an hour or two. And I've consulted with people as far away as Australia, doing that like through Skype or Zoom or Facebook Messenger. Yeah.
Best part of our industry is being able to talk and work with people all over the world. I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Makes me smile.
You just got to adjust your timing.
Yes.
Because, you know, late night for me is early morning for them.
Yeah.
In Australia.
Yeah. So that's great. Thank you. And your website is martinibuster.com. So anyone wants to connect with Roger, you can do that. Before we tie this show up, I'd like to share our most recent testimonial on iTunes. The post is anonymous, sadly, but here it is. Title, Best Way to Learn SEO. And the description is, this show helped me get my business ranking how I wanted it. And that's it. That's all that the testimonial was. But you know what? That's fantastic. So from now on, when we get a new testimonial, we will read it on the show. So please take a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast stream. Then let us know in the Facebook group that you posted the review. We'll queue you up for a future show and read it out. We'll tell you about we'll mention your website, you name it. We just really want to get a few more reviews out there. Right now, it's only showing 3. I don't know what's going on with Apple. I know we've been doing this for 11 years, so I know there's more than 3, but you could help. So thank you. So on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and our special guest, Roger Monty, a website publisher, owner of SEO consultancy, martinibuster.com. Thanks for joining us today. I really do appreciate you coming on, Roger.
Welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. So if you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 podcast on Facebook. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on Webmaster Radio.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.